while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, Pollardshill Baptist Church, and welcome. Welcome, friends, welcome, family. Welcome to service this Sunday morning. It's a pleasure to be with you all, and it's a pleasure to open the Word of God with you all this morning. And so the main scripture reading has been read, but just a reminder, the theme for today, the title for this sermon is Where Do I Fit In? And I'll just read a synopsis one more time. Whether you come from a small or large family, we all need to find our own place in the family in order to complete our sense of belonging. Come as you are, bring what you have, and see that there's room for you in God's family. Amen. But before I kick off with the word, I just want to ask, how are you? It's January 2022. We're in the middle of January. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling the crunch. I'm feeling the financial crunch, the what's left after Christmas. January for me is it's the month where, do you know, you have your cupboards and you have all the cans at the back. So you have like your beans, your tomatoes, all the canned stuff. January is the month that those stuff that have been at the back of the cupboard finally see the light. It's the time when I start thinking, okay, I need to get something creative to cook for dinner. And you open the cupboard and there's a can of tomatoes and it's like, yes, okay, we've got something here. Because, you know, a can of tomatoes tends to be the base for many meals. And so when I see the can of tomatoes, I think, okay, I can make a stew. And then I remember that the meat is frozen. I don't have time to defrost it. So I was like, okay, what's the next option? And then I think pasta. I look for the pasta and I got pasta. I'm like, okay, we're onto something here. We've got the pasta, we've got some tomatoes. We can do something with those two ingredients. So yeah, January for me is that month when, you know, it's time to get creative with what's in the cupboards. But we thank God that he's still the God who provides and there's always something there to eat. So yes, January, and it's been a good start to the year, especially when I think about the sermons we've had preached here in this year. We kicked off the first year with Brother Isaac bringing us the word on being thankful, you know, thanking God for what he has done and what he is doing and what he will do. And then after that, Pastor Deji brought us the word and we looked at the vision for 2022. And we looked at the motto verse, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It's a powerful motto verse for 2022. And then, of course, after that, so the previous week, we had Phil Barnard who came in. And, you know, we were celebrating 82 years anniversary of Pollardshill Baptist Church. And he came in and spoke to us about, you know, God's been faithful over these years, but we're in a time where society is changing. People haven't heard the gospel, and you know, reaching the community is going to look a different way to probably how we thought it would be. And he challenged us to think about how we're going to move the community, how we're going to reach the community, how we're going to remain relevant, but of course not changing the truth. And you know, really challenged us to think, are we ready for what God wants to do in 2022 through Pollardshill Baptist Church? And I'm thankful for all those sermons because it's led us beautifully to today, thinking about where do I fit in, looking at the Paul when he's writing to the church in Corinth and talking about the gifts and how they all fit together, and of course that's what we'll look at today. So I know we read the main scripture reading already, but I want us to read it again, only verse 1 to 3. So that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. And I'm going to read it in the message, in the message translation. I'm going to read it out in that. So I'll give you a few minutes. Maybe, you know, you're listening at home and you want to grab your Bible and read along. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. If it sounds a little bit different, it's because, again, I'm going to read it in the Message translation. And it says this. What I want to talk about now is the various ways God's Spirit gets worked into our lives. This is complex and often misunderstood, but I want you to be informed and knowledgeable. Remember how you were when you didn't know God, led from one phony God to another, never knowing what you were doing, just doing it because everybody else did it. It's different in this life. Remember how you were when you didn't know God, led from one phony God to another, never knowing what you were doing, just doing it because everybody else did it. And then another translation, another version, I think it's the NIV or the ESV, it doesn't say phony gods, it says idols. Idols. And as I read this, and charged by Paul to remember that life, I thought, God, what were my idols before I came to Christ? What were my idols? What did I put before you? And, you know, because before the new year begins, I tend to read over my journal. So since I became a believer, I've always kept a journal. And I was reading through it and I was just thinking, I really wish that I kept a journal before I came to Christ so I can remember exactly how I was feeling, what I was chasing after, what my idols were. Because sometimes you forget. And so I carried on in the week and I was asking God, what was my idols? What did I put before you? And he answered me. And I'll tell you the story in which he answered that prayer and he showed me. So again, it's January, it's a new year. And so I decided I would join the gym. I wanted to join the gym, keep fit. I've moved recently, but before where I used to live, I used to go jogging very often around the area. But since I've moved, I haven't really found the space I want to jog in. And so I thought, okay, I'll go to the gym and use a treadmill and do whatever other things I feel to do in there. And the gym that I signed up to have a great big range of gym classes. And so I was scrolling through the gym classes to join and I saw one called Pump It. And it's on the app, you can see it on the app and you can choose to register through the app. But for every gym session they have, they give you like an intro video of what it will be like. And you know, I really love the way that they do these videos, these promo videos for the gym classes. So I press play to view this this preview of the class. And a woman comes on, you know, everyone's in the class, everyone's smiling, there's really nice music playing. And, you know, a woman comes on and she bends down and lifts up the weights. And she's, you know, she goes on to talk while she's pumping these weights. Since I've joined the Pump It class, I have gained so much confidence and my body has changed so much. And, you know, the instructors, they will guide you. And so you can really take things at your own pace. You know, it's so convincing. And so I saw this video and I was like, yeah, I can do this. I can actually do this. And so I signed up to the class and I got to the class. I got there on time, but people were already in the class. And so they already had their weights all set out. They had their mats all ready to go. And it was my first time and I had to run to the back. I was cranking around trying to figure out what I was doing. Eventually I managed to get everything I needed to get. And so already we're doing the warm-ups, there's no music on just yet. And every instructor, every personal trainer who does the class brings their own music. And we're about to start the class now. We've done our warm-up and the lady who's leading the class presses play on the stereo. And immediately I knew the song that she was playing. And from I heard the first song, I knew that this was going to be a whole session of this music. And what it was a soca song. Some of you may not know this, but I was absolutely addicted to to soca music. I still have a love for soca music, but it's gospel soca now. But before, I had an addiction for just your usual regular soca music. And not only soca music, but I had an addiction to carnival as well. And everything that comes with carnival, the drinking, the getting drunk, the promiscuity, the everything that comes with that carnival scene is the things that I was addicted to. And even though I'm saying I'm addicted to it, I'm sure you don't quite get how addicted I was. I mean, to the point where if I had a job and I asked for the carnival weekend off, and my manager said no, I would literally just be like, okay, so shall I leave my job now or after carnival weekend? Because there's no way I'm going to miss carnival. As far as I was concerned, absolutely nothing and no one was going to come between carnival, my drinking, my soca, the dancing, nothing at all. You know, we used to travel to Liverpool, Seychelles, Hong Kong to take part in carnival. That was my addiction, and God showed me that was your idol. You worshipped all those things. You put them before me. And as this class is going on and I'm joining it and I'm hearing all these songs that I used to know off by heart, songs that my behavior would have changed just like that the moment those songs came on. And I stood there and I thought, God, wow, you've changed me so much. And so what comes with this love for carnival and love for soca, of course, there's a group of us who love this kind of music, who love the carnival, who love everything that comes with it. And so it's in that group that then I find my acceptance, I find my belonging, is where I try and fit in. And here Paul is saying, remember when you used to do those things, when you used to serve those idols, doing things just because everybody else did it. Well, it's different in this life. It's different in this life, meaning now that you are in Christ, that should be your way no more. It is different. You know, I don't know if many of you, well, some of you do know parts of my story, but there was a time when I was going to go off to Qatar. I got given a job offer to work with the number one airline in the world and travel from country to country. And I realized then I really didn't know myself at all. I really did not know who I was. The only thing I knew back then was that I wanted to be a social worker. And so I did everything I needed to do to become a social worker. And then once I got there, I was there for a while and I was like, oh, okay, what's next? And so that's what prompted me to go and apply for this number one airline. Now, I do love traveling and stuff like that. It wasn't my dream job, but I was like, hey, I don't mind traveling and making some money at the same time. So that's why I applied for it. I didn't actually know if I would get it or not, because it is number one airline in the world. So I was just, you know, taking my chances, but I did get it. And then something happened and they put my application on hold. I was due to fly out in 2 weeks' time and they put it on hold. And it's too long to give that whole story now, but they put it on hold. And so during that time, I was praying. I was like, God, what's happening? I really want to go, but what's happening? And I remember during the time of praying, he brought a song to my mind. And it's not a story that I've actually shared with anybody before. He brought a song to my mind, and the song is Nelly Furtado, I'm Like a Bird. I'm not sure if you all know that song, but the main lyrics, the chorus says, I'm like a bird, I only fly away. I don't know where my soul is. I don't know where my home is. And what God was saying to me is, Jasmine, look, you can go and you can take this job and you can fly from America to the Caribbean to Europe. You can fly all over the place and you can have loads of fun. You can get into loads of relationships and you can have loads of fun. And you can do all this kind of stuff, but you will never be satisfied because you don't know where your home is. You don't know where your home is. And you're wandering around, your soul is wandering around, but in this life, it's no longer like that. is different in this life. I've given you a home, and your soul no longer needs to wander around. I can give your soul rest. See, I was building my identity in all these different things, and some of us do that. For some, it's our jobs we build our identity in and our belonging in. Some of us, it is our families. Sometimes it's relationships. You know, I remember someone telling a story of how she found her identity and belonging in her workplace. She was a new wife, and they had a baby together. And she said, you know, it's great being a wife and a mum, but when I'm looking after my baby doesn't tell me, well done, you're doing a good job. But when I go to work, I get told I'm doing a good job. I get promotions, I get seen. That's where I feel like I belong. That's where I built my identity on. That's where I built my foundations on. But the problem when we do things like this, when we try and find our belonging, when we serve gods and idols in this way, is that they're not firm foundations. And so when they break and when they crumble, we're left not knowing who we are. We're left not knowing where we fit in. But Paul says it's different in this life. It is different in this life. For those of us who are in Christ, it is different in this life, and we do fit in. See, when we come to Christ, we're given a new identity, we're given purpose, we're given gifts, gift from the Holy Spirit. And God wants to use us. He wants to use you. He's made us part of a new everlasting family, part of this kingdom. And he wants to do great things in you and through you. And he wants you to use the gift that he has given you through his Spirit. Ephesians 2, chapter 19, verse 21 says it beautifully. Again, I'm going to read it in the Message translation. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 21. You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here, with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here. He's using us all in what he is building. Wow. Using us all in what he is building. You know, once I gave my life to Christ, I would still go to church and not really feel like I fit in. I didn't feel like I had anything to offer the church. I didn't feel like I had anything about me that could encourage another believer. And so for a very long time, I would just go to church and receive. Church became my petrol station. I would go in, fill up, go off for the week, come back, fill up, go off for the week. I was a spectator. I didn't get involved in anything. So it's like, okay, well, if God's word says that, you know, we're part of one body now. We all have a purpose. God is using us. He wants to use us to build what he's building. And I know God's word is truth, but his truth isn't matching up with my experience. So what do we do there? And the thing is, if our experience isn't matching with God's truth, then it's us that needs to change, because God's truth doesn't change. So I just want to take us to Acts chapter 2, verse 44 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 to 47. Because we all tend to love to go there to look at how the church should function. how should it function? So Acts chapter 2, verse 44 to 47. And this is in the NIV version now. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. When I read that account about the church of Acts, what I see, what I'm hearing, is a church, a body of believers that were together. There was unity. They cared for one another. They were active. They were active in seeking God. They were doing things together. They were building together. All the believers were together and had everything in common. There was no passive passengers. There were no observers. There were no spectators, but everybody was involved. Everybody was active. Everybody was doing something. You see, the reason why I kept on going to church and not feeling like I was fitting in is because I didn't do anything. I didn't get involved in any area of ministry. I didn't give help where help was needed. Everything was an excuse. Oh, I won't go to the prayer meeting because that's for the prayer warriors. I won't get involved in Sunday school because that's for people who have children or who already know how to teach children. I'm not going to get involved with the mission team and go and evangelize on the street because that's for the evangelist or that's for those who know how to share the gospel. Can't get involved in the worship team because I can't sing, I can't play a musical instrument. And it was just excuse after excuse. I can't get involved with the elderly when they're doing their groups because, of course, they're older than me, have nothing in common. Excuse after excuse. And no one rebuked me. For a long time, nobody rebuked me. God has given us all a gift from the Spirit. And we fit in, but we're supposed to be active. We're supposed to get involved. We're supposed to be getting involved, church. Building together, encouraging one another, using our gifts. We cannot be passive. We cannot be observers. We cannot be spectators. And I know many people are saying, well, I don't know what my gift is. I don't know how to use it. I don't know how I can be a part of what God is building. And I come back again to the church in Acts. See, the churches in Acts, they weren't churches like they are today. They were small. They gathered in homes. They were small groups. God chose to work through his people in small groups. So I'm asking you, church, what happened or what's happening to cell groups? What's happening to cell groups? Cell groups are they can be so powerful. That's where God work so powerfully when you're in your cell groups. That's where people are able to recognize the gifts that have been given to you. That's where you're able to grow and walk with one another. That's where we're able to see what God is doing in us and through us and what he wants to do in Pollard Hill Baptist Church as a whole. In my previous church, I was involved in the cell group, and I've never experienced anything like it. That's where I came to know what some of my gifts were. That's where we was able to grow together, to encourage one another. And people have gone on to do great things from cell groups. You know, Sundays, you know, coming here and hearing the word is good. You know, that's amazing. But if there is no study and no application, there is no spiritual growth. You can come and hear a word, but if you're not studying it, if you're not applying it, there's no spiritual growth. There's no point. And cell groups are the time where we study that together, where we encourage one another, where we see the gifts that God has given to each of us. So there was a point where I just was like, you know what, I'm just going to get involved. This is, again, at my previous church. I was like, I'm going to get involved in everything. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to get involved because I'm going to be part of what God is doing. I'm not going to be passive anymore. So I got involved with the elderly group. I got involved with Sunday school. I got involved with holiday club. I got involved with evangelizing on the streets. I got involved in preaching. I got involved in leading worship. I got involved in everything that I could. I got my hands a little bit messy. I made a few mistakes. But in doing that, I was able to understand more how God wants to use me. And what God wanted to do in that place, in that church. So Pollard's Hill Baptist Church for 2022, can we just get involved? Get involved in something. There's so many areas of ministry, so many things that are going on in church that you can get involved in. Will you just say yes in 2022? Yes, Lord, I will do this. I'm going to commit to one thing. And see what God does. You know, it's the start of the year, and I've heard so many people being so hungry for God, praying such bold and powerful prayers. I've heard it here in Pollard's Hill Baptist Church. Oh God, in 2022, we want to see your hand on Pollard's Hill Baptist Church. We want to see thousands saved. We want to be the light on the hill. We want to see people saved daily. We want to see the gifts of the Spirit. We want you to send down fire. And God's like, okay, well, what are you doing? What are you doing? Because I've given you spiritual gifts. I've given you my power. I've given you what you need to go and do those things. But you're not using your gifts. You're sitting on your gifts. You're not doing anything. But yet you want me to send down fire. We're supposed to use what he has given to us. Use it and do his work and pray at the same time. Not pray and sit down and do nothing. He wants to use you. He wants to use us. He wants us to do things for the kingdom of God. They're not going to get done if we continue to sit and do nothing. You know, Jesus has entrusted us to carry on his kingdom work. And that's incredible. Incredible that he's called me, he's called you to do his kingdom work here on earth until he returns. And whatever he's called us to do, he equips us to do it. And one of the ways that he has equipped us is by giving us the gift from the Holy Spirit. And this is a two-part sermon series, so don't worry, in part two next week we'll touch on the gifts, looking at what the gifts are. But he wants to use you. Yes, church, it is a rebuke. The sermon is a rebuke, but it's also an encouragement and a reminder to let you know that God wants to use you. God has given you a gift for you to use for the common good. Don't you want to know what that is? Don't you want to be used by God? The responsibility he's given us to do kingdom work here on earth should be taken seriously. And I'm going to read Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30. Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. It's a parable Jesus told. And I'm going to just read that to us to remind us that God doesn't take it very well when we decide to sit on our gifts. Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. The parable of the bags of gold. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, gathered where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Are you sitting on your gift? Are you sitting on your gift? Jesus is coming soon. And every single one of us will have to give an account. God doesn't want you to use your gift and to do kingdom work out of fear that he's going to be harsh with you. Jesus died for us so that we can live. So we're supposed to use these gifts that are being given to us and do kingdom work with joy in our hearts, saying, "Thank you, Jesus. I want to show everybody what you've done for me. I want to use the gift that you've given to me so everybody can receive what I have." Quite early on in the planning for this sermon, Moses came to my mind. Moses came to my mind. And I'm just going to read a quick account before I close. Moses chapter 4, verse 2 to 3, and then I will go down to verse 5. "Then the Lord said to him," that is Moses, "what is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. "The Lord said, throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, Reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Why did that come to my mind? God asks Moses, what is in your hand? Moses has a staff. And we know in the account of Moses and bringing the Israelites out of Egypt that he uses the staff several times for miracles. Now imagine if Moses at the Red Sea was like, God, you know, I need you to do something, part of the Red Sea. And God is like, yeah, use your staff. And Moses is like, nah, I don't want to. What? Nah, I don't want to use my staff, God. I don't want to use it. I just want you to part the sea, part the sea, God. That is what some of us do. We send out these prayers to God, and God is like, give me the spiritual gift to do it. We're like, no, God, I don't want to use that. I don't want to use that. I just want you, Lord, to do something, to do something miraculous. It's like, I've given you the gift to do that. Sometimes that's what we do. Again, church, it is indeed a rebuke. It's also a wake-up call. The life we now live in Christ is different. He's given us new life. He's given us gifts. We're part of a family, an everlasting one. God is our Father in heaven, and he wants to use us on earth. And one of the ways he wants to do that is through us using the spiritual gifts that he has given to us. And I invite you to join me again next week for the sermon, for part two, as we look a bit deeper into these gifts and what it means to be one body.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.